From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Wow, thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We've got a great show for you today. We got celebrity chef Mario Batali. He'll be joining us later to play Not My Job. But first, we want to take a second and just say how sad we are that John Kerry won't be running for president again. No, we are. We're very sad. It's because Carl really does a great John Kerry impersonation. Give it to us one last time, Carl.
I voted for it before I voted against it. Who among us doesn't love NASCAR? If you don't study hard, you get stuck in Iraq.
What a waste of talent. Anyway, there's a lot of people left in the arena for him to imitate, so let's get started. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey,
who's this?
This is Sandy Harrod. I'm in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Shreveport.
How about them Saints?
Woohoo! Oh, let's have mercy, Chicago.
Let's be gracious.
Come on now.
Break my heart.
I know. Yeah. Well, anyway, Sandy, welcome to our show.
Thanks.
Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and author of the new book, Moving the Chains, Tom Brady and the Pursuit of Everything. Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Sandy. How are you?
I'm good.
Also say hello to a deputy managing editor of the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Sandy.
Also say hello to a humorist and the author most recently of Feet on the Street, Rambles Around New Orleans, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hello.
Hi, Sandy. Is Shreveport anywhere near Smackover? No, that's Arkansas. I'm sorry.
That's right. That's Arkansas. Shreveport is in the extreme northwest corner of the state.
Yeah. Okay. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thank
now, you're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes in the week's news, of course. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, just two, you'll win our prize.
Please.
Ready to go?
I guess so.
All right. Here is your first quote.
If you can't win with a guy who throws himself under a New York subway train, it's time for a new speechwriter.
That was NBC's Brian Williams giving some advice to a speechmaker in the news this week. Who?
Oh, my.
Guy gave a speech this week.
The president.
The president, yes, President Bush. The introduction of the New York subway hero was as close as the State of the Union speech got to an unalloyed success, though President Bush weirdly also introduced the lady who founded Baby Einstein. Maybe he's trying to solve the budget deficit by selling product placements. We don't know.
The Tostitos State of the Union address?
Exactly.
Excellent.
The most interesting thing to me about the State of the Union is, of course, which lines get a standing ovation and from whom. Now, sometimes the president was tricky. He'd call for, quote, victory. And you could see the Democrats thinking, victory, that's good. So I'll stand up. Oh, but his plan, that's bad. I'll sit down. But if I don't stand, then I'll be like, I'm not for victory. That'd be bad. And they end up sort of just like bobbing and weaving as if they're trying to avoid something being thrown at them. This was amazing to me. As you know, another part of the State of the Union is the president entering and exiting. And, of course, who's ever by the aisle gets on TV and maybe even a moment of FaceTime with the president of the United States. And a Democratic congresswoman, I believe it was Sheila Jackson Lee, took her seat at like 9 in the morning make sure that she would have that seat. And she just sat. She camped out. She brought a book. People were going back and forth doing the business. She had a little tent there.
I would rather have met Dikembe Mutombo.
Right? Really?
Yeah.
The basketball player.
Yeah. He's
got to be the tallest person ever went to the State of the Union, don't you think?
He actually bumped his head on the dome of the Capitol.
I did like the New York subway guy. This is this incredibly heroic construction worker who threw himself onto the subway tracks. Yes.
You really can't miss with that story.
No, it's a great story.
Bush got a hand. You got a hand.
Yeah, no. But what I loved about him is he stood up. He stood up, and while people were applauding for him, he was pointing at the president and saying, "You demand. You demand."
Yeah, for about 10 minutes.
I know, it was crazy. Yeah. And you know, President Bush was like, going, "That's right, I am."
Now, Cheney thought it was him, though.
Yeah, I know. All right, Sandy, very good. Here is your next quote.
Okay.
Appearances were obviously important to her. She changed from the brown suit she had worn earlier in the day to a soft green one, which offered more contrast to her dark leather speaker's chair.
That was the New York Times, the gray lady, the paper of a record.
Believe it or not.
Commenting with great seriousness on the clothing choice made by whom?
I have to go with Nancy Pelosi.
You would be wise to do so. Very good. This was a historic State of the Union address, of course, because for the first time, the president stood in front of a person who was openly wearing women's underwear. Showing, perhaps, that the media...
Well, not... Presumptively.
Presumptively.
Not openly.
Yeah. But showing, perhaps, that the media was not quite ready for a female Speaker of the House, a lot of the commentary was, yes, about what she was wearing. It's only fair, I guess, because we all remember the huge scandal back in 2003 when Denny Hastert showed up still wearing his bib from Red Lobster. Oh, what a faux pas. It was very weird. A lot of people commented on this, watching Pelosi sit next to Cheney. Because they're just an unlikely pair. Somebody counted. Pelosi blinked 25 to 30 times per minute while watching the back of the president's
head. It was Dick Cheney's overwhelming man musk was getting to her.
I know. So Pelosi blinked 25 to 30 times a minute. Cheney, sitting next to her, blinked 3 to 4 times a minute.
That was as often as they could get the little lever in the back of him to click.
Also, there was one moment where he shot out his tongue and ate a fly, which was... Here we go. Sandy, here's your last quote.
Okay.
Al Gore might finally get to win something.
That was movie critic Terry Lawson of the Detroit Free Press talking about Al Gore's good news this week. He got what?
He got nominated for an Academy Award.
Yes, he did, Sandy. Very good. Technically, of course, Al Gore himself not nominated for an Oscar, but his movie about global warming, An Inconvenient Truth, was nominated for Best Documentary. But you know what's going to happen. Most of the Academy is going to vote for him. Then the Supreme Court is going to intercede and give the Academy Award to the producers of Trading Spouses.
Somebody there on UrbanDictionary.com had the new definition of the day was the Gore effect, which is not what you think it is. Apparently, every time Gore goes to put on a big production of, show the movie and a big fundraiser for against global warming, the temperatures in whatever city that is reach an all-time low.
Really?
In New York City, the coldest day of the year. Yeah.
He's just got a low-pressure system that follows him around.
His timing has never been perfect.
Carl, how did Sandy do in our quiz?
Very well, Peter. 3 correct answers. Sandy, you win our prize.
Very well done.